the important thing to get across to Bill in the morning, and what I'm really trying to do with regard to the exercise today and Monday and Tuesday surround him, as I'm sure you sensed. I think you should tell him that, Bill, I must be candid with you that the whole cabinet thing has now been worked out, and everybody's very relaxed about it and happy about it. It's all worked out. I mean, you're the only problem. Can you do that? You see, my point is there isn't really anybody else. When you come down to it, is there? Peterson, maybe. Martin will handle. Hodgson, we know there's no problem. I think Bill's got to know that he must not get away with the idea that he's standing up defending his colleagues in the cabinet, which was that act he put on yesterday.
Right, right.
Or don't you agree?
Sure.
How does it sound to you?
Yep, I can
say that, well, Bill, the president's now directly or indirectly contact all the members of the cabinet. Everything's worked out. They're all very happy about it. They're either going to be in other positions. Some of them want to leave, or some are going to stay.
Yep.
The only problem, really, Bill, is you.
Yep.
And so you've got to remember that this is where the spotlight's going to be. Can we justify it? I think you ought to put a cold turkey to him so he doesn't think that he's putting himself in the position, Bob, of defending his colleagues in the cabinet, and that's bullshit.
Absolutely.
Bill never cares about his colleagues in the cabinet. He never cares about anybody but himself. Am I being unkind?
No, you're being accurate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What time are you seeing him? 11 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah.
Fine. Now, don't tell him that we worked the Richardson thing out and the rest. Don't tell him a goddamn thing.
Right.
Just say, it's all worked out, Bill. I can't tell you about it because the president's keeping us all close to the vest.
Right. Okay.
You have any other thoughts? Now, on Connolly, what did he really say? Because I was with other people when we talked about the Colson thing. What did he really think? Because he likes Colson, doesn't he?
Yeah. But he felt very strongly that it was a question now. Let me get my note on it. Well, first of all, he made the point, as I said, that we've got to have somebody handling politics in the White House.
Right.
And
well, he realized that doesn't have to be Colson.
He thought that's all Colson was concerned about. He got the distinct impression from Colson that he was leaving, but
yeah,
that he was concerned that we weren't going to put someone in to replace him.
Of course we are.
Then he says, Colson's got to recognize, which he doesn't, that he's not an indispensable man. And
right,
it's much better to make changes of the cabinet and the White House at the same time. It's a bad signal to just do cabinet and not clean up your White House.
Right. Absolutely. Good, good.
Then he said he agreed that we should make our move now, that Congress is going to be mean and testy, and they're going to cause us all the trouble they possibly can. We should keep them off base by shifting people, moving them in and out, so they can't pick on the old people.
Right.
And he said there's a lot of merit on that basis in getting Chuck out. And he said, I don't think you have any problem. And I said, well, we do on timing. That's the thing. He's concerned that it'll look bad and all that. Connolly said, it won't look bad at all. This is the best time for him to get out. And if he stays around, he'll be a bigger issue. If he's out, he doesn't matter.
So he saw it the same way that you and John and I saw it.
He definitely should move out now.
All right. In the morning, you're to talk to Colson, if you will. And I wouldn't quote Connolly. Don't put him on the spot because Colson will call him. Don't you think he might?
Yeah, no, I won't quote him.
I simply say, Chuck, it's your judgment. Because of the 1-5 chance that the president might have to turn his back on you. He doesn't want to turn his back. He's never turned his back on anybody in 25 years. He doesn't want to be the first man to be you. He thinks there's probably 1-5 chances that we could do it, but we must not do it. Does that sound like a good ploy or not?
Yep.
Even though Chuck thinks there's no chance, but I think there's a 1-5 chance. See?
Yep.
And you, what'd you say? You think there's 1-5 chance?
Yep.
Perfect. Agreed.
Yep.
In the meantime, we want his best man to be recommended, and second, as I told you earlier, I want him to set up the earliest possible time within the next couple of weeks a small dinner here at Camp David or in the White House, where he gets some of the top labor people in, ethnics and others that he's been, so that I can sit and talk with him about his future. See, and I will make the transition myself. See?
Yep.
Okay.
We'll do it.
Anything else?
Well, there is one minor item here. Mitchell raised a question. He felt I should raise with you that Paul Nitze came in to see him.
Huh.
And to report something he was very concerned about, which is that he was looking for a staff man and interviewed a guy who works at Brookings who was applying for the staff job Nitze was looking for. And the guy said he was writing a book on salt. And Nitze showed him the he showed Nitze the manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
And the manuscript has very extensive direct quotes from Nissim's and from the actual negotiating transcripts.
Right.
And Nitze,
that's Henry again, you see.
Nitze said that apparently Kissinger has some sort of tie with this guy and apparently has a veto on the book. In other words, the guy has access but can't print anything Henry
does. Well, now, I want you to call Kissinger and raise holy hell with him, perfect hell with him. Do you know the name of the guy?
Nope.
Well, you just tell him, and that's it. Because Henry does leak things, Bob. You know that.
Okay.
Or don't you agree?
Well, I think he probably does. Nitze told John that the reason he was raising it with him is he thought that it ought to get to you because apparently the guy plans to publish the book in April, and he says it would be disastrous, especially with the Russians.
Right. Well, you get at Henry right away and tell him I hold him personally responsible for this because it's his man, and get him in the first thing in the morning. But he's not to call me. He's just, and always when you call Henry, tell him the contact is to be with you and not with me.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. I will cover that.
Good. You going back now?
No, I'm going back in the morning.
Good. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I think everything's good shape, don't you think so?
Yeah.
But you talked to Rogers at 11 o'clock, right on the line, though.
Right.
And you think there's a possibility he might say the hell with it all, huh?
I think there is. I think as he's thought about it, he may realize, you know, that was a pretty cheap play he made yesterday, too.
Mm-hmm. If he does, we accept it.
Yep.
If he doesn't, fine, we accept him. But on...
Well, I'm not going to say we accept him.
We're going to accept the cold turkey terms. That's the main thing.
Right.
We're going to name everybody in the department, and everybody up and down the line. He is not going to be Secretary of